Tonight, take your Bibles, turn with us to 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, a more sure word of prophecy. And tonight we lay some groundwork right from the Scripture for what we're going to be talking about on Monday night and Tuesday night and then Wednesday night. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19, where it says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. You need to take heed to the word of God. But you'd better have the right word if you're going to take heed to it. Amen? You better have the right book. You better have the Bible, the word of God. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now we need to understand that the Bible is an inspired book. And men were moved by God to write this wonderful book. It says here in verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. That word sure is the Greek word babios, and it means a firm foundation. It means that which is stable, that which is trusty. And we could say trustworthy. The word of prophecy is part of the whole. And I believe not only do we have the Word of God, we have the words of God. And I believe that to have an accurate translation, you must go from the Greek to the English, the Hebrew to the English. And to do that, you must do that word for word. I do not believe that we ought to use dynamic equivalents. That means that men say, well, that ought to say this, and I believe it says this, and then they write that down and say, well, that's a Bible. I was listening to a radio broadcast this past week, and the fellow said, I'm going to read from three different versions, and he did that, and he said, I'll pick a little bit from each one on this verse. Well, the Bible is not a smorgasbord. It's not that which we can just pick and choose what we want. We need what God says. We need God's Word to us. Knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, verse number 20. Now, that very verse where it says of no private interpretation has been misinterpreted by so many people through the years. And we'll deal more with that as we look into this tonight. I believe we do have the Word of God. I'm not looking for a Bible. I've got one. I'm not trying to come up with something new. I've got what I need. I have the Word of God. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The testimonies of the Lord are sure. Psalm 93, verse 5, thy testimonies are very sure. They're sound. They're solid. And the importance of this sure word is brought out in Psalm 119. You know, every verse in Psalm 119, the largest section of Scripture, it's not actually a chapter, it's a psalm. Psalms are psalms. They're not chapters, they're psalms. And this is the longest section of Scripture, and every verse deals with the Word of God. And there are things that we learn from that that will help us in our life and help us in this study this week. We find that when the Bible is resorted to, it cleanses. You resort to the Word of God, it cleanses. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy Word. A young grandson went to stay with his pawpaw up in the hills of eastern Kentucky. Back in the days when they had coal buckets, folks burned coal, and some had a coal basket, and this fella had a coal basket. He'd haul his coal up in a basket and have it in the house. And the young grandson who lived in the city, who was not brought up in church, noticed that every day his papa sat and read the Bible, spent a lot of time in the Word of God. And he told him, he said, "Papa, I don't read that book a lot because when I read it, I don't retain a lot of it and don't remember a lot of it. So why do you read it every day? I know you don't remember all of it nor understand it all." He said, "You're right." And the grandfather thought, "I tell you what I'm going to do." He said, take my basket here, and I need some water from the creek down there, so run down there and get water in my basket and bring it up here." Well, a boy went down there and filled the basket with water. Before he got a fourth of the way up the trail, the water ran out of the basket. He came up and said, I can't do it." He said, "Oh, yeah, you can do it. You just have to run faster." So the boy dipped the basket, and he ran up the hill. He got about three-quarters of the way, and he told his papa, he said, "It's empty." He said, "Try it one more time." So he ran down there and filled it up with water and ran as fast as he could. Nearby got to the porch, and the last of the water ran out. He said, "I can't do it. I can't keep the water in the bucket or in the basket. It just won't stay." So he, as a wise Papa would, said, "But remember when you started, that basket was filthy, wasn't it?" He said, "Yes, sir, but it's clean now." He said, "What cleansed it?" "The water." What will cleanse you and cleanse me? The water of the Word. I'm reading through the Bible again. I love just to read through the Bible. I'm not a speed reader. So I just read through the Bible. When I finish, I start over again. I just go through it and then start over again and read it again. I don't set a time. I don't say I'll read it through, well, you know, in this year. It may take me 2 years, but I'm going to read through it over and over and over again. You know why? It cleanses me. It cleanses me. The water will cleanse you. And if you retain it, and you do retain a lot of it, it will preserve you. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." You hide it in your heart. The word of God hidden in our heart. And it preserves us. And when we reflect on the word of God, what does it do? It strengthens us. It strengthens us. The word of God strengthens us. Verse 28 of Psalm 119, "My soul melteth from heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." The word of God. It gives light whenever we receive it. Psalm 119, verse number 130, "The inference of thy word giveth light." The inference of thy... I said word, but you know what? It's the inference of thy words. And let me go back to what I was talking about as far as dynamic equivalence. They leave a lot of words out. I'm putting in my bulletin at church this year, every week I put a King James verse and then an NIV verse and show what the NIV leaves out. And people say, "Wow, that was left out? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Luke 19:10, right? "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." That's not even in the NIV. Completely wiped out. You know why? Because, number one, they use a wrong text line. They use the Alexandrian text. All modern Bibles use the Alexandrian text line. Now, the New King James, they said, "We use the this, that, and the other." But no, they relied over here heavily. Our Bible, the King James Bible, is from the Antiochian text. It's from Antioch. And tomorrow night, we'll see how Baptists, through the years, have stuck with and stayed with that text. That text from which we get our King James Bible. When believed, it quickens. Psalm 119, verse number 25, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." Oh, listen, sometimes I'm down and out, and I'll sit down and read my Bible, and God gives me a... extra boost. Have you ever been there? God helps you through it. He quickens us. We know that we are quickened unto life, but this is talking about how He gives us strength through the Word of God. It quickens. It produces joy. It enriches us. Now, verse 19 of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have a more sure word of prophecy. What are we talking about here? More sure than what? Well, we'll see that, but I want you to notice that little word we there. We, the believers, those who are believers in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, have a more sure word of prophecy. We do not have to doubt what God has to say. We trust the Word of God. Sam went to school here. My Sam did. That boy could get in more trouble on a basketball court than anybody I've ever known. But he loved it here and loved and graduated from the school here. But when he was a little tyke, I was in school down at Mid-Continent, and Brother Cloyd was one of my professors, and we were singing, and he'd hear the kids sing. He was just a little tyke. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-I-B, Bible. And one day I came in, and he was standing on his Bible. Had a little Bible. He's standing. I said, son, you're not supposed to stand. He said, the Psalms has. To stand alone on the Word of God. And he stood on his Bible. And I tell you something, friends, he's a strong believer in the Word of God. He believes the book. Believes that it's here. It's a more sure word of prophecy, and it is this old King James Bible. One of my favorite hymns, and the favorite hymn of Robert E. Lee and of J. Vernon McGee, was How Firm a Foundation. Listen to the words of the first stanza of that great song. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. Is it excellent? It is. What more can we say than to you He hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. We have a more excellent Word. That's why I don't believe we ought to take a penknife and cut it apart. I don't believe we ought to pare it off. I don't believe we ought to change the meaning and change the words. 1 John 5:7 tells us that there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. The modern versions either take that out or pare it down. Friends, I don't want that out of my Bible. I have a more excellent Word. Amen? I have a book I can trust. Do you know this book here is the book that was preached in the war between the states when my great-great-grandfather was saved? This is it. And people say, well, it's old-fashioned, they can't understand it. Are our children that dumb? Every year at Elliott Baptist Church, we have a kindergartner stand up and quote Luke chapter 2. Now, every year it's a different kindergartner, but we have a kindergartner stand up and quote Luke chapter 2. And I use that as an illustration and say, listen, some of you say you can't understand it and you can't read it, and here's a five-year-old quoting Luke chapter 2. We've been dumbed down, but friend, I believe this. There are 1.3 billion people in the world who can read this book. I was in Jamaica in August. No, it wasn't. It was November. I can't remember where I'm at, what time. But it was August. No, it was November. I was in Jamaica, and we got down there, and we brought Bibles. And at Atlanta, they said, you're overweight, you got to take something out of the big box. And we did. We had a lot of tools and stuff. And we took the Bibles out because they were in a box. And we said, we'll ship this box. They said, we've changed our ruling just today that you can't send a cardboard box with stuff in it. Now, they knew what was in that box. And that girl didn't want them to leave Atlanta. So I told our team, I said, look, everybody take some Bibles and stick them in your luggage. And we got them in. And we got to Jamaica. And I preached each night, and they worked all day. And I worked some. And when we were in the church service, there were little bitty kids quoting. And listen, this was so unusual. As I would start a verse, the church would finish it. I mean, I would start in a verse like 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be, and they would be in Christ. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. These are country people. These are folks live out in the woods. These are people live not in Kingston and not in Montego Bay or anything like that. They live out in the hills. And a little bitty one's quoting. And in the schools, they have a Bible. And they learn the Bible. We're being sold a bill of goods that's not right. You know that? This country's falling for a lie. We have a more sure word of prophecy. A more sure word. Now, God has greatly magnified His Word. How much has He magnified His Word? Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. That's a high premium on the word of God, isn't it? That's a high premium on the word of God. Now, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Now, as we get into more of this, we find in 2 Peter that actually Peter's looking to the second coming of the Lord. I'm talking about His advent to the earth. But do you know there were a lot of folks who were saved when Christ came because they realized the Scripture had been fulfilled? It was the sure word of prophecy that caused them to see Christ. Remember someone named Anna in the Bible? And there was another fellow, there was a fellow there, Anna was a woman, and there was a fellow there. Anybody remember his name right about the time of the birth of Jesus? And he said, now I can go on and be with the Lord. What was his name? Y'all remember him? We all remember him and can't remember his name. I remembered it this morning. Can't remember it tonight. I'm going to have to go look at it. I'm telling you, that's got me. Find out who he was. But you know what I'm talking about, don't you? And in the middle of this, I'll remember and I'll tell you and you'll tell me. But when you remember, let me know. But you know what he did? He saw the Scripture. He saw the Word of God. What happened with the Ethiopian eunuch out there on the desert road? And Philip gets up in the chariot with him. Understandest thou what thou readest? How can I? But what was he doing? He was reading the Word of God. He was in Isaiah 53. And he wanted to know, does this speak about the prophet or somebody else? And Philip opened the Scripture and preached unto him what? Jesus. Jesus. Simeon. Okay? Simeon. Simeon's the one who knew that Jesus had come, met him at the temple when Jesus was a babe. Now, we can go on now. That eunuch was reading the Bible. They didn't have the New Testament. Didn't have the complete canon, but he read the Bible. And Philip said to him, that he had to believe. And the man said this, see here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And they stopped the chariot and he baptized him. You know what? I left out a verse, verse 37. Do you know that verse is left out of the New International Version completely? It's completely taken out. Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? What did Philip say to him in Acts chapter 8? I'm going to look at it. Acts chapter number 8 and verse 37. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Do you believe that's an important verse in your Bible? Now, some of the newer NIVs have, instead of just going from verse number 36 to 38, they put 36, 37. But there's no 37 there. It's completely taken out because it's not in the Alexandrian text. But I have a more sure word of prophecy. And all the words of the Lord are pure words. And I don't have the authority to cut out what I don't like or don't want. Why would a Bible with a Catholic text want to do away with baptism requiring believing? Because it takes away infant baptism. It takes away sacerdotalism, which is a big word for salvation in the church. Salvation is not in the church. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the Lord. But there are two major denominations that are sacerdotal. One is Roman Catholic, the other is Church of Christ. They believe if you're not a member of that church, you're going to hell. Do you know that you don't have to be a member of a church to go to heaven? Now, you ought to be. You ought to be. But Christ is the Savior. There was a thief dying on a cross. When thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Several things about that very, very quickly. His hands were nailed to the cross. He could not do any work. His feet were nailed to the cross. He couldn't walk the path of righteousness. And he couldn't be baptized. All he could do is what? Believe. That's all he could do. And he did. He did. He did that. And then it says, "Whereunto ye do well to take heed as into a light that shines. A light that shineth in a dark place until the day star rise in your hearts." Now, we are to pay attention to the Word of God. Do you know that? We are to pay attention. We're to take heed to the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is what you need and what I need. Now listen. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration is a Greek word, theopneustos. It means the breath of God. All Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. An old preacher friend of mine just passed away in 2010. Brother Ed McCullum, great preacher of the Word. Back some years before he died, he lived in North Alabama. And one frosty, cold North Alabama morning, he was out in his workshop and he found a little piece of sheet metal. And he went out in the yard and stood there, and then he had this thought and he breathed on that sheet metal. And his breath collected on that sheet metal. And he went to the back door and beat on the door. And Ms. McCullum came to the door and he said, "Do you know what that is?" She said, "Yeah, it's frost." He said, "No, that's the breath of Ed McCullum." You know what this is? It is the breath of God. This is God's breath. It is a God-breathed book. And we need to take heed to this book because 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That tells you what's right. For reproof, that tells you what's wrong. For correction, that tells you how to get right when you are wrong. And for instruction in righteousness, it tells you how to stay right when you are right. Everything you need is in this book. This book is what you need. It is God's Word. It is a sure foundation. It is that which we can trust. And it shines in a dark place. Now, the word dark here means squalid. It means dirty and filthy. And you and I would agree tonight that the world that we live in is squalid and filthy. It's getting dirtier all of the time. I told my folks this morning, I said, I don't go to movies because there are a bunch of whoremongers. I'm not going. Now, y'all may go. I have not paid to go to a movie since 1972. And I went to see the Ten Commandments. I was in Saigon, Vietnam, Keith, and it cost me 50 cents. And that's the last time I paid to see one. Charlie Sheen ought to be in prison. What do you think would happen if they found a big old box of cocaine at the preacher's house? Huh? Woo! Boy, I'd be out of business, wouldn't I? Headline news, I guarantee you. They wouldn't be wanting me in rehab. But you see, we live in a squalid place. So we need the light of the Word. We need this light shining. We need a light that's bright. Not one that's dim. I like sweet tea. I do. I got to where I'm trying to lose a little, and so I tell them at the restaurant, I say, make mine half and half. Half sweet, half unsweet. With lemon if you've got it. It just makes me feel better, that's all. But you know what? When my tea is in a glass, I want tea that you can't really look too far through it. I want it to be good and stout. You ever go somewhere and the tea looks as though they just drug a tea bag through it and threw it away? Huh? Friends, I want a Bible that's substantial. I want the Word of God. I don't want some weak, watered down version. And this really is the King James Bible. We say the King James Version, but this is the King James Bible. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. We can trust it all the way through. Can a city that's sat on a hill be hid? Nah. Yeah, I mean, you know where it's at, don't you? And you have a light, a candle. Do you put it under a bushel? No. So you have a light. Children in school ought to let the light shine. Men at work ought to let the light shine. We have the more perfect Word. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have a Bible. You see, the King James Bible, we'll see this as we go through this week. That we have a book to be trusted, to be relied upon. It is the Word of God. And we need it until the day dawn. And who is the dawning of the day? The Lord Jesus. He's coming. And we see prophecies being fulfilled. We see God's Word being fulfilled. Now we get to the controversial verse number 20. 2 Peter 2 and verse number 20. Now, my folks don't put ice in my water, and I'm going to have to tell them, put ice in my water. Now, notice this. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. What does that mean? Well, that's been one of the questions that has made the scholars scratch their head for years. Do you know that this one verse kept the Bible out of the hands of the common people for centuries? This one verse. It's of no private interpretation. So the Roman Catholic Church said the common man should not have the Bible. It's of no private interpretation, so the church is the only one with the authority to interpret the Word of God and to add to or take away or to come up with new traditions and new plans in a council of the Pope and the Cardinals. And because of that, people didn't have a Bible. Because the church said, and I'm talking about the Roman Catholic Church, that only the church could interpret the Bible. They still believe that. They've not changed on that. They still believe that. And because of this, we got our King James Bible. Now, we'll see that as we go along. I'm not going to get into that tonight. But because of this interpretation of the Catholic Church, our King James Bible came about, which we'll find to be most interesting. Do you know what Baptists believe? They believe this is our only rule for faith and practice. But other religions believe that they can make their own rules and own practice. But we believe everything that we teach ought to come from this book. Amen? It's not to come from somewhere else. I've been reading some of the charismatics. Just as I've studied some of this, and I found that one of them, a real famous one, believes that you can become a god. That you can actually become a god. And he believes there's a mother planet. And that Earth is a sister planet. And that the mother planet is much like the sister planet. I hope not. If that's heaven, I ain't going. I want to go somewhere where it's paradise. Amen. I'm telling you. But he's world famous. His name's Kenneth Copeland. And it's in his writings and in his doctrine. People eat it up. It bothers me when somebody says, I've got a word. It just came down. God told me that this church ought to buy me a new car. That's not of God. But people do that and get away with it because people like that kind of thing. Peter Popoff, you probably never heard of Peter Popoff. But old Peter, he would get somebody in the back of the auditorium like the sound man back there, and he would stick a bug in his ear. And the sound man would be out, and they'd have spotters, and they'd find out things about people. And old Peter, they'd tell him back there, said, there's somebody here. Got arthritis in their foot. I feel as though there's someone here with arthritis in their foot. It's me. It's me. That's shysters. You see, we do not handle the Word of God deceitfully. We preach it word by word, verse by verse, because we believe it all. Amen? It's the Word of God. Others believe that no private interpretation means that a prophecy does not fulfill itself until that prophecy becomes true, and then you can understand it, and by that you can interpret the Scripture. Wait a minute. I'm confused. Others believe that the prophets do not fully understand their prophecy, and that is true in a great sense because Daniel said that he was told to seal the book until the end of time. You know what? Daniel's become one of my most read books and one that I'm most interested in. You know why? Because we're in the end times. And so I'm understanding it. The book of Daniel. But preacher, you've told us what it doesn't mean. What does it mean? Now, no man, not even the prophet himself, can understand the Scripture without a very important element. Or should I say a very important person? Why are there so many cults and isms in the world? You know why? Because they don't have this person. They don't have this element. They don't have this power. And so they come up with their own thing because they don't have Him within them. The truth of Scripture cannot be opened without this person. Now, why are they making Bibles today like funny books? They got the cowboy Bible, cover like a saddle. Mine's leather. And they got the Ebonic Bible. Amen. I mean, they've got all these. We could go on the rest of the night with all this. It's all marketing. But my Bible's not copyrighted. And we could print it right here at Grace Baptist Church. It's not the thing of having a Bible that can be marketed. The NIV's come out with a new version because sales had gone down on the one they've had a while. That's truth. It's truth. They've come out with another one because they want sales to go back up. That's sad, isn't it? It's a sad thing that they would do that very thing. You know what the word interpret is here in 2 Peter? It's a Greek word, epiluosis. Listen to this. You know what it means? To unloose. No scripture is of any private unloosing. Go to John 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse number 26. John 14 and verse number 26. And I want you to notice something. John 14, 26. No scripture, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not of any private unloosing. It's not. Here's the person who unlooses it for you. But the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside, the Holy Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father has sent in my name, He will teach you all things. You know who taught me this book? God, the Holy Spirit. He's teaching me this book. Amen? And bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's particularly to the apostles because God used them in preserving the Word. Amen? They were used in that. I grew up in the RLDS. I was not saved until I was 19 years old. I grew up in the RLDS. Anybody know what the RLDS is? Reorganized Latter-day Saints. I was a member of the Reorganized Church of Latter-day Saints of the Latter Days. Josephite Mormon. I believed in Joseph Smith's writings. I've still got my Book of Mormon. I don't think Brother R. ever knew this. I've still got my Book of Mormon. Got it in my office. Pearl of Great Price. And I believe that Joseph Smith had found some tablets and that God gave him some special glasses. And that those special glasses were used to read these special tablets. But nobody can find the tablets nor the glasses. And I believe that there were cities that nobody now can find that are in the Book of Mormon. And there were tribes of people, the Nephites and folks like that, who we've never heard of and can't find. I believed all that. You say, what made the difference, preacher? One night at a Baptist church, the East Howard Baptist Church, this preacher had stayed after me. He told me, he said, you're not saved. I said, yes, I am. I'm a member of the Mormon church. I was baptized when I was 8 years old. All of us got baptized when we were 8. He stayed after me. He said, will you come on Sunday? I said, no, I'm not doing that, but I come on Wednesday night. And one Wednesday night, you know what happened? The Holy Spirit of God arrested me. Do you believe you can be saved apart from the Holy Spirit of God? There's no way. Scripture is of no private interpretation, no private unloosing. You were bound. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we better have the right book, amen? Are we going to have a lot of nothing in churches? And we have a lot of that today. We do. We have a lot of nothing in a lot of churches. I was pastoring in Arkansas, and a lady came to me and said, Brother Fayard, we've started the country chapel over here outside of Cabot, and we ain't got no doctrine or no nothing. And she was so happy they didn't have any doctrine. And she said it just like that. We ain't got no doctrine or no nothing. I said, woman, you're crazy. I mean, doctrine is teaching. You've got to have teaching. I'm teaching my Sunday school class right now, the Baptist Way book by Ben Bogard. If you've never read that book, it's an interesting little book. I'm a Baptist now. There's an old saying, Baptist born, Baptist bred. When I'm dead, I'll be Baptist dead. Well, I wasn't Baptist born. I wasn't Baptist bred. But when I die, I'll be a Baptist dead. I'll guarantee you that. Because the Scripture was unloosed. Do you understand what I'm saying here? When I preach, all I have is the water of the Word. From here to there, it's the Holy Spirit who makes water into wine. That's the work of the Spirit. That's the work of the Spirit. How is anyone saved? Only by the work of the Spirit. And then God's Word is given by inspiration. Oh my, look at this. This is the last verse here. Verse 21, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It's not man's book. It's God's book. Not by the will of man, but notice what it says here. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is what? Given by the breath of God. Inspiration. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Greek word there for moved is phareo, and it means to be carried along. It's not within your power. It's God. I believe in the plenary verbal inspiration of Scripture. I believe the personality of the writers is there, but every word is the Word of God. It's God's book, holy men of God. And they wrote the very words of God. That's why we can't take a Bible like the Good News for Modern Man or the Living Bible and call those Bibles. They're not. Because those are the interpretation of man, but not the unloosing of the Holy Spirit. You understand where I'm at there? There's a difference. And we can't preach on this King James Bible unless you understand that this book was loosed from God. Remember over in Acts chapter 27 when there was a storm and Paul was on the ship and the ship was out of control and they threw things off the ship and then it says they let her drive. You know what they did? They let the wind take it. That's the same thing that's being spoken of here. God took those men and carried them. I told you about the book of Daniel. I am learning more out of Daniel than Daniel understood. Because now it has become real. In Matthew 24, it talks about perplexity of nations. I understand that. Amen? I understand it because we see it. It's very, very real. It is. Let me read a statement by D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, one of my favorite writers. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this: "It does not merely tell us that the man was inspired. It does not merely say that the truth was inspired. It goes further than that and announces that the very recording itself was inspired. The very recording of the Scripture was inspired." Was inspired. Now listen. I can believe that there is a higher being and an intelligent designer by looking at nature. Amen? I mean, you'd have to be dumb not to think that somebody did all this. Amen? I can do that by nature, but I can't come to the place of learning about a loving God sending His Son to die for my sins except from this book. So I need this book. And you need this book. And friends, this is the book. And tomorrow night we'll deal with Baptist and this book. God bless you, Brother Art. Come ahead.